Okay, Jam. Last week I told you all about how vitamin C keeps us from turning into mush.
Mm-hmm.
And what collagen does, you know, how it helps build collagen.
Yes.
But then I promised you that we would talk more about vitamin C in maybe a 2 or 3 part.
Yes. And you didn't really tell me why we don't want to be mush. It seems like it'd be a little bit hasty to assume that it'd be all bad, right?
Well, I'm still not going to tell you why you don't want to be mush, but I am going to tell you why vitamin C matters for our immune system. And I'm going to answer the age-old question, should we take those vitamin C mega doses when we get a cold?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So that's what's on the docket for today. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jam.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast to help you understand the chemistry of your everyday life. And okay. I was going to say, if it's one of your first or second or third times listening here, when we say that Melissa's a chemist, she truly and very much is.
Totally.
Third degree chemist. She's got 3 degrees.
Third degree.
three degrees in chemistry. And she got her PhD. And she is here to teach you and I about chemistry. I do not know anything about chemistry, and I'm here to learn for the first time. Other than the fact that I've listened to her teach chemistry multiple times, I have no background in chemistry, and I just learned it along with you.
It's true. And one thing that we talk about a lot on our show is that, you know, I'm the expert, right? I have several degrees in chemistry. I have a strong background in chemistry, so I know a lot about chemistry, but that doesn't mean I know everything.
Right, but it does mean she knows almost everything.
No. And so an expert means somebody who knows a lot of information and has the tools they need to learn more about a certain topic in that area, not someone who knows everything. And it also doesn't mean I can never make mistakes. Sometimes I do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do make a mistake, I try to correct it as fast as possible. Or sometimes we learn more. Science comes out with more.
That's
true. We've been doing this show for almost 5 years now. So science has progressed in the last 5 years. So whenever that does happen, we try to do a good job of keeping up with that.
Yeah. Instead, it's been super cool because they'll be like our mosquitoes, this mosquito repellent series, it's this ongoing thing.
Yeah.
When Melissa hears about new research about that, we make a new episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because we get to just add to the story a little.
Yeah.
So not a bad thing at all.
Similar with our Teflon series too. That kind of took on a whole...
That's very
initially,
true.
There was a lot we didn't know, and now we know a lot about PFAS and how they can hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
just the other day, my wife texted me a link to some cookware that she had gotten an ad for. I won't say the name. And she said, "What about these? These seem like really good, and I've seen good reviews about them, or whatever." And I was like, "I looked into those, and definitely has Teflon, even though they use some very shady wording in their marketing."
Mm-hmm.
And they are one of the examples of the kind of companies that say, does not contain PFOA, but that actually has PFAA or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that
yeah,
deal. Yeah. Anyway, so it's there's always new chapters to some of these stories.
So all that to say, that's who we are on this here podcast. And also that Jam is an audio expert.
Yes, that can also make mistakes. Just like a chemistry expert, an audio expert like me can make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that's a little bit about our background.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. And now let's get into vitamin C part 2. So if you haven't listened to vitamin C part 1, highly recommend. That was such an exciting episode. I learned so much about vitamin C that I didn't anticipate learning about. This episode is a little bit more along the lines of what I thought I would be learning about when we came to vitamin C, but you will still get a little chemistry lesson.
Nice.
More like a review.
Okay.
A little chemistry lesson / review. And we're also going to talk a lot about the implications of the research as well.
Cool. And the overall like vitamins series, this is part 2 of vitamin C, but we've done like 4 about vitamins.
Different vitamins. We did vitamin D and just what are vitamins in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do still have on the list, although it might not be right next to us because we've got some special things in store, but how much the FDA regulates is like something that I want to talk about. And also there's questions about like, oh, should we put salt and minerals in our water? And what does that mean? So there's some other things of that are on the list that might not come right immediately after this, but they are in my mind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. So I'm going to give you first a little bit of background. So this episode is all about the question of, should we take vitamin C when we feel a cold coming on? Okay. And a lot of times it's been marketed in what we call these mega doses. So that means like 1 gram or 1,000 milligrams. So you can think of like those emergency packets.
Mm-hmm.
That is a mega dose of vitamin C because it's a lot larger than what you'd need on a day-to-day basis. Okay.
Okay.
And so I think there's two reasons that we think that we need to do that or mm-hmm. that we believe that. And one is that we have heard, I'm sure you've heard, especially from your wife, that vitamin C plays a role in your immune system.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what we learned last week is that vitamin C plays a role in like everything. but two, this is what something you probably don't know, is that in the 70s, Linus Pauling, do you know who that is?
No, not the character from Peanuts?
No.
Okay, got it.
Good question though.
Yeah. I was just like, just in case, because that'd be cool, honestly. Yeah. I'd be like, he went on to have a long career in science.
I knew one Linus.
Yeah.
No, he's a big deal in chemistry. He has won 2 Nobel Prizes, one for chemistry. And the other, I think, for advocating against war or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he is kind of a big deal in chemistry. And he theorized, although he did not have evidence for this, that supplementing vitamin C in these mega doses could be beneficial in fighting against a common cold. So, but he didn't have really evidence for that. But I think that is where this started. Probably one, the fact that it plays a role in our immune system, and two, the fact that Linus Pauling, who's really well respected, made these claims.
Got it.
Okay. But we don't have good, clear evidence on that. And so we do have some, though. And so before I answer that question, I'm going to leave you on the hook and I'm going to go back and talk about the chemistry of vitamin C in your immune system.
Okay.
Because I don't want to just give it all away at the front.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So vitamin C does play an important role in the immune system. And honestly, it does so much that it's complicated and it's hard to narrow it down to just one thing. But I found something that I think would be interesting. This is not comprehensive, but a fun little foray into vitamin C's role in the immune system.
Okay.
Okay, but first, chemistry lesson. Let's talk about oxidation and reduction, sometimes put together as redox.
Right, right.
And what do you know about oxidation and reduction?
Oil rig.
That's right. That's what everybody, or Leoger.
Oh, nice. Leoger.
Everybody who has taken Gen Chem probably remembers that.
Uh-huh.
What does oil rig mean?
Oil rig means oxidation is loss and reduction is gain. And I'm trying to remember because we talked about this. Oxidation is loss would mean it is, this is confusing because we're talking about electrons. And so if you gain electrons, that would be being more negative.
Yep.
That makes it confusing.
Yep.
But oxidation is loss, which would mean you are losing electrons.
Yep.
And reduction is gain, means you are gaining electrons.
Yeah. And it's called reduction, even though you're gaining because it becomes more negative.
Yes. Yes. It. Yeah.
Exactly.
Boy, that's confusing.
It is very confusing.
Wait. Leoger, what's that one?
Losing electrons, oxidation.
Okay. Okay.
And that gives you LEO
uh-huh.
and then GER, gaining electrons reduction. Then that answers your question of if it's the charge or the thing.
Yeah, that is more clear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I didn't learn it. I learned oil rig also.
Yeah.
And I also learned it as is losing instead of is loss. And so is losing to me is more like, oh, I'm losing electrons.
Yeah.
You don't think of like losing charge in the same way.
Right, right.
Okay. So redox reactions are all about the transfer of electrons. Everything's really about the transfer of electrons. But in reduction, you are gaining electrons. In oxidation, you're losing electrons. And so if a molecule or an atom can give up an electron, we call that being oxidized.
Okay.
separate chemistry lesson. What do you know about radicals?
Radicals are when an electron is like loose on its own, right?
Right.
And it's like just going nuts.
Going nuts. It is usually still attached to an atom or a molecule.
Right, right. Because it, I guess it wouldn't really be super possible, or it would just want to find it.
Yeah, it'd find something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But usually around molecules or atoms, electrons exist in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of balance each other out.
Right.
But if you have an electron without a pair, an unpaired electron, mm-hmm. that is a radical, sort of a single electron without a buddy.
Got it.
And it causes chaos.
Yeah.
Okay. So that chaos, we call it oxidative stress, and we have a whole episode where we talk about that. I think, was it the antioxidant episode?
I think it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we talked about those together because then...
And also the benzoyl peroxide episode. I think we specifically talked about the oxidative stress when we talked about benzoyl peroxide.
And hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we?
Probably.
I think it came up then too. Those were kind of close together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So, and both of those, hydrogen peroxide, benzoyl peroxide, both have a single bond between oxygen that can easily form radicals. So hydrogen peroxide and benzoyl peroxide both make sense.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you want to learn more, you can go back and listen to those. But we call that oxidative stress. It just really can cause damage to cells in our bodies, which eventually can lead to things like oxidative stress can lead to things like cancer, aging, autoimmune disorders. They can just do a lot of really bad stuff. Okay?
Okay.
So those are your two little mini chemistry reviews. As we have oxidation is losing electrons and radicals are out there causing chaos.
Right.
Okay, well, vitamin C has the ability to lose an electron, to give up an electron, or to be oxidized very easily.
Okay.
And that's good because if oxidation might negatively impact something else, vitamin C can sort of volunteer itself as tribute.
Ah, okay.
And it can easily be oxidized, and it can give up one or two electrons.
Okay.
Now, if it gives up one electron to perhaps an unpaired electron out already in your body, it can give up one of its electrons and it will make the free radical that's out in your body have a pair. And then it will be left with an unpaired electron. But the cool thing about vitamin C is that it's capable of dealing with an unpaired electron.
Okay. So it doesn't end up just like going free and going crazy.
Right.
It has an unpaired one, but it is has a plan.
Yes. And the best way I can think of this is, say when I was back in college and I got a medical bill and it was for $200 and I waited tables and I didn't have a lot of resources, a $200 medical bill would wreak havoc on my finances.
Right.
But if that happened to me now that I'm graduated and I have, you know, double income, no children lifestyle, if I got a $200 medical bill, it wouldn't be fun, but it wouldn't ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
That is similar to imagining a radical on one single atom, perhaps, that there's nothing to help bear the burden, no additional resources.
Got it.
But if you have a molecule, which maybe has some features that we've talked about before, like on the antioxidant episode or things, basically things that let it share the load of that unpaired electron and sort of minimize the damage in any one area that can handle it.
Okay, got it.
So in that way, vitamin C can be oxidized and it also acts as an antioxidant where it can take on radicals and it doesn't really get negatively impacted as much as maybe our body would.
Okay.
Okay, so it can do both of those things.
Cool, dang.
I know.
Interesting.
So here's then how a little bit of how then that comes into play in our immune system. So in our immune system, oh, I did want to say one other thing. Vitamin C as a radical species is really stable. So a lot of radical species are, if you have a radical on a molecule or something, that's what I mean when I say radical species. They break down so fast, like within milliseconds. They don't live long. Or less than milliseconds even. But vitamin C as a radical has actually been observed in the blood. And wow. It has been it can last seconds or even minutes in the right conditions, which is crazy to me. I didn't know that.
Huh.
I didn't know. Maybe somewhere deep in my brain I knew, but it's not a common thing to think about being able to get a radical like in a bottle on a shelf the way you would for a lot of other things.
Uh-huh.
Like they don't exist long enough. If you ever need a radical, it just exists like it. You have to make it in the moment.
So wait, so you're saying it exists for just a little bit. What do you mean when it stops existing? You mean it's found another?
Yeah, found
electron?
Another, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Or it can keep going through several other steps. It can give up more electrons or whatever. Yeah, it can take on more, give up more. There's a lot of stuff that could happen to it.
Okay.
So, but it's just a big deal that it's stable enough that it could be like observed. That doesn't usually happen. So that's kind of, that was a cool tidbit that might not mean a lot to you, but probably is interesting to other, if there's other chemists listening. Okay, so now the two things, its ability to be oxidized and its ability to act as an antioxidant will help out our immune system because in our immune system, we have cells. So our immune system is kind of interesting. It's not like one part of our body, like our heart or, you know, like whatever.
Right.
There are cells that move around all of our body that can do things like if they find an invader that's going to be bad for us, they will try to neutralize it. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, there's a lot of different ways they can do that. You can go into an anatomy and physiology or biochemistry class to learn more about that. But I think of them as it's their job to take invaders and kill them. So they have cells that their job is to do that.
Okay.
Okay. And those cells have vitamin C in a much higher concentration than the blood plasma around those cells, which indicates that vitamin C is really important to the functioning of those cells. But it's not entirely clear exactly what role the vitamin C is playing in them.
Okay.
We know that vitamin C is necessary for a lot of enzymes to function, like we talked about last week. But some two other ways that it's likely that vitamin C is playing a role in these cells that are present in our immune system is, one, by using the ability to be oxidized and to act as a reducing agent, so letting other things be reduced by it being oxidized, trading electrons back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It could be taking part in some kind of signaling system. So there are what we would call like a redox chemical signal.
Okay.
So there could be some chemical pathway in our body that getting just the right balance of electrons triggers a system that tells our body, oh, this needs to happen.
Got it. Okay.
Another thing that it could do is by being an antioxidant, it could be doing the thing of volunteering as tribute. So literally protecting other things from being impacted by oxidation because it's easier to oxidize and it's happier to oxidize. So it can act as an antioxidant. It can volunteer as tribute and protect some other things from the damage that could come from oxidative stress.
Okay, got it.
So those two things are very likely happening in our cells that are part of our immune system.
Okay.
So the two things that I saw happen most often is that if we don't have enough vitamin C, the ability of those cells to move, so they can move in response to chemical gradients, that can go away. So the cells might not be able to find the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
And they might not be able to, they might take on too much damage when breaking down the bad guys.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that that seem to happen if you don't have optimal levels of vitamin C.
Okay.
Is you're not, the cells sort of lose their ability to move as effectively because they're using the chemical signals to move, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they seem to be less effective at actually taking down the invaders because they might be taking on too much damage themselves.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I try to think of that as like, try to find an analogy for that, but that's hard. And sometimes you're good at coming up with analogies for that. So I thought maybe I could offload that to you. But that's sort of,
I think I got one brewing right now.
You do? That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is an overview of the chemistry of vitamin C itself. We didn't talk about the vitamin C itself last week very much. And the role that it plays, a little bit of the role. It's a brief overview because it does so much stuff in our immune system and in our bodies in general that it was really unreasonable for me to like narrow it down. And it got so complicated so quickly, but that's at least an overview of part of the role that it plays in the immune system based on its chemistry. So because it can be oxidized and because it can be an antioxidant, these are things that it does to protect cells and possibly help cells function.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. You ready to explain it back to me? And then I'll answer the question about the vitamin C stuff.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. So.
I can already tell from his face.
Batman.
Okay. Batman. Okay. Batman.
So at least in the Batman scenario, Batman himself is certainly he has some abilities and some, you know, things going for him, but he's pretty dependent on technology.
Right.
Armor, you know, that kind of stuff. Gear, whatever, what have you. And so let's just pretend that every, cell in our immune system. Is that our white blood cells, by the way?
Yes. It was white blood cells. Yeah.
Okay.
There are specific ones. There's like neutrophils.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you've heard of those before. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Emily about those and they're a type of, I think it's called leukocyte, but I've worried that that would be too many. Like I'm just throwing jargon out.
Let's just say the cells that are part of our immune system.
Mm-hmm. That white blood cells.
Going around and trying to look for bad guys.
Yep.
Just say they're all Batmans.
They're all Batman. Yeah, they're all Batman.
They're all Batmans. And so what's needed is, one, we all know something famous about Batman is he can only fight crime if he knows it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have the bat signal.
That's right.
And so, and this is, you know, well-known, documented in history, world history. So, Batman. So, in the case of these cells, the vitamin C, the chemical signal part or whatever, mm-hmm. would be like the bat signal. So, if it's able to give up some of its electrons to pair with these radicals and then and do that in a way that signals to the immune system that something's going on.
So not necessarily with radicals. It might just be, it didn't specify the papers that I read. It just said it could take part in some redox reactions that could act as a chemosensor or a chemosignal. So basically it could take part in some oxidation reduction situation that triggers something that acts as a signal to the cells.
So if that's happening, it would be creating some sort of signal, some sort of difference that's going on that mm-hmm. could be picked up by these cells in our immune system that are trying to fight stuff. So if that's going on, it is similar to a signal, a bat signal.
A bat signal, yes.
Which what's cool about that is that the bat signal isn't like this even perfect thing anyway, because it doesn't exactly tell you where. In the case of the actual bicycle, it doesn't say exactly where it's happening. It's just saying, hey, something's going on.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yeah.
But then the second thing you said that would be helpful about vitamin C is that in the case of these immune cells, if they are not able, if they're not doing as good of a job at fighting the bad cells, whatever things are in our body that aren't good that our body's trying to get rid of, if it's not doing as good of a job, it might be because it's taking on too much damage itself.
Yep.
And that would be also in related to the oxidative stress kind of stuff going on. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There could be radicals. There could be things that there would be oxidizing agents that are that are going to oxidize maybe some of the important pieces, like maybe their fat membranes or things within those cells.
Okay.
And so if those get oxidized, that's taking damage.
Got it. And so that would relate to Batman's ability to fight any, you know, bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
It relies quite a bit on his ability to take on damage and still keep fighting and have plenty of, you know, whatever body armor or some tactics to evade the weapons of a bad actor, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so both things would be important. He needs to know crime is happening somewhere and needs to be able to have the protection and strength to fight it without just getting too hurt himself to even be able to do anything.
Yeah.
And so in a way, that is what's going on in our bodies all the time.
And I think that, so maybe someone who's like a biochemist or someone who's really studies this would have better insight into how the vitamin C could contribute to letting the cells move around and what exactly signal they're triggering and things like that. I dug really into it. Mm-hmm. And with all the papers I read, that this was the best overview I could think of.
Got it.
So.
And if I missed any of the chemistry stuff to review, it's like that we obviously talked about that.
I quizzed you on that on the front
end. At the beginning. Yeah. So I didn't recap that part really. But that is key. Very, very obviously much at play here.
Right.
The oxidation, electron radical, that all that kind of stuff is clearly important in this.
Exactly.
And just like Batman, just like it's important to Batman's story too.
Right. Just like Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we take that very seriously here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because just like if you don't know history, then the thing is you're doomed to repeat it. And that's why it's important to talk about these kinds of important figures. So wait. Okay. So those are the two ways. Was there something else you talked about that I missed?
Nope. That was the big thing that I wanted you to get is just
nice
that it could protect. Sort of the main summary that I really liked from one paper was it could protect the cell itself and it could act as some kind of chemical sense signal to like, or act as a sensor in part of that.
Okay.
So I think that was great.
Got it.
Okay. So now the question is, do we take these mega doses of vitamin C? Will that really help our immune system function? And the answer is in some cases, definitely yes.
Okay.
And in other cases, unclear.
Hmm.
So here's the cases that there is evidence that it is very clear that it will help you.
Okay.
If you have a vitamin C deficiency.
Got it.
And we're talking about this threads the line between you're not getting, you don't have as low enough levels to be getting scurvy.
Okay.
But it might not be high enough for your cells to be functioning optimally.
Got it.
So like to avoid scurvy, it's around the 10 milligrams a day to function optimally, it's around 90 to 100 milligrams a day.
Okay.
So you might be in there somewhere. And if you're not consistently getting enough vitamin C and then you feel a cold coming on, it is possible that taking vitamin C will help shorten the duration or minimize the symptoms of your cold by getting up to a healthy level of vitamin C.
Got it.
If you're already vitamin C deficient.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Another setting where it has been shown to be helpful is, this is kind of an interesting study, but if you have something like the common cold mm-hmm. and you have severe physical stress, so they like looked at marathon runners and people who were working in, I don't remember if it was military, but it was something about working in Antarctica in like extreme conditions.
Oh, dang.
So if you have severe physical strain on your body, like you're mm-hmm. doing something like a marathon or something like that, it is shown that vitamin C, again, will help minimize the impacts of a common cold.
Interesting. Okay.
So if you're a marathon runner, if you've got some kind of severe physical stress, extreme physical stress, my guess is that vitamin C is used for so many things in your body mm-hmm. and you could have so much other oxidative stress going on that your body is using all of it up. And so you're maybe in those conditions suboptimal.
Got it. Yeah. So it's like, it's clear that if you don't have restitution or whatever, if for some reason something's causing you to maybe not have enough vitamin C.
Right. If you have a deficiency.
Yeah. Deficiency. Then that's obvious that, oh, you know, you need to have enough.
Yep.
But the question would be, that might be, you know, not the easiest thing to prove. Are you actually deficient or not? So does that mean you actually need to take it or not? So like, the average person may not know that they don't have enough, but it's at least clear that if you don't have enough, it would be negative for you. It would be bad for you when you're trying to fight something.
If you're trying to fight off something, yeah. Yes. If you don't have enough vitamin C, if you are vitamin C deficient, which you should go to a doctor and get blood work and mm-hmm, see, mm-hmm. if you're vitamin C deficient, then it would be beneficial.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for the general population, assuming that you have enough vitamin C,
okay,
there is not really evidence.
Okay.
Here's the closest thing to evidence that I still have questions about.
Okay.
Okay. So there is a decrease in white blood cell vitamin C levels and urinary excretion, so just getting rid of excess vitamin C, mm-hmm. when people are fighting a cold. That is documented.
Okay.
Your vitamin C levels in your white blood cells, your vitamin C levels in your urine. So just excess vitamin C basically is what's in your urine. Those go down when you're in a cold, and after a cold, they come back up.
Got it.
So that suggests, oh, vitamin C may be used at a higher level during an infection. And so one study suggested, okay, so if you're taking then large doses to the gram doses of vitamin C, that study indicated that it would bring the vitamin C levels back up in the white blood cells, not necessarily in the urine. Mm-hmm. But they then didn't take that. That sounds good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But they then didn't take it one step further to prove. And then once you have more in your white blood cells, that's better.
I see.
It could be that you just constantly have all these, you know, levels that are optimized in your body of vitamin C. And if you get sick, they get depleted, but they don't get depleted to your detriment. They just get depleted because they're being used. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're still taking in the same amount of vitamin C that you normally would, mm-hmm. you're going to be fine. And they'll be used up for their job in your immune system. And then they'll regenerate after with your continued intake of vitamin C.
Okay, got it.
So I would say that is the closest thing to evidence that vitamin C gets used up at higher levels when you have a common cold. But they didn't take it to the next step of saying, and therefore we need extra. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing that I looked up is therapeutic trials. So like when they tried to actually recreate this in humans, and it, not that I found, was there any human trials that indicated that people with that don't have vitamin C deficiency, when they took these mega doses, these emergency type packets of vitamin C mm-hmm. during their cold, it did not show any statistical difference.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Here's a weird fun fact for you.
Okay.
There was something that did show a statistical difference. in the duration of a cold symptoms.
Okay.
That is not vitamin C. And it's something that both of us take.
Vitamin D?
No.
Oh.
That's a good guess, though.
I was like, what's
it? It's not a vitamin.
Oh, antihistamines.
No.
We'll take that.
Emily told me about it, so maybe you don't know if I take it, your wife. It's the Sambucol Elder.
Oh, yes. I do take that whenever I'm sick.
I know you do.
Okay, yeah. I did not know you took it. That's why I didn't guess that.
So the Sambucol Elderberry, I believe, is what it is. Specifically elderberry, not the elderflower. Mm-hmm. There was evidence. I just saw it very briefly. I didn't look at who conducted the study, but there was a study of people are more likely to encounter the common cold or, you know, germs when they're on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a study on a flight and there was not a statistical difference between the number of people who got sick who were in the Sambucol or elderberry group versus the placebo.
Mm-hmm.
But the statistical difference came in the intensity and duration of the symptom.
Got it. Okay. And that is definitely, so my wife who works in pediatric medicine,
mm-hmm.
who didn't just randomly do this, she heard about these studies and that right. There was actual documented stuff for this specific elderberry product, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that when we've gotten cold, and just anecdotally, that seems to make sense to me. It's not like I don't get sick.
Yep.
It just seems like anecdotally, this is not science, that I get a handle on it faster.
Yep.
But, you know, that's hard to prove.
Yeah, that's hard for you to prove, but they did prove that there was a statistically significant. So basically what that means is there's going to be a difference in two groups of people, but what are the chances that it's random versus something actually made a difference?
That's cool.
That's what statistics tell you. And so this was not just random. Something did make a difference, and it was the elderberry one. And there were a few studies on it that did different brand names of things, and the elderberry extract specifically seemed to consistently do well. So perhaps that can be an alternative, since I maybe just squash your vitamin C dreams.
Dang, that is crazy. It's also true what they say.
What?
Respect your elderberries.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I promised you also answers to other questions like, does your dog need vitamin C? And should you put it on your skin? And why is it sometimes on my Apple packets? And so I think I'm going to, again, leave us hanging. And next week's episode is just going to be just a bunch of fun facts about vitamin C.
Nice. Common questions and fun facts about vitamin C.
Right.
So you're telling me I got to wait a whole week.
You don't, but they have to wait too, actually.
Oh.
Because we're recording to get ahead for vacation.
Right. So you're telling them they've got to wait 2 weeks.
Yes, I am telling them that. Sorry.
So if they come back here in 2 weeks, all their questions, some amount of their questions about vitamin C will be answered.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. That sounds like a good deal to me. And for free?
And for free.
Wow.
Actually, for the cost of listening to some ads.
Why?
But hey, if you want the ad-free version, check out our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So normally we wrap up with some kind of happy thing or fun category, but I figured, since we're leaving on a cliffhanger and since we're trying to sort of get ahead because we're going to be taking trips and all that over the course of the summer, what trips are you taking this summer?
What a good question. I took one.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, one of the hottest vacation spots in the United States. And I, that is the only very certain, very planned on the books, definite thing that is happening this summer for me.
Okay. And that's done already.
That's done. It's out of here. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with there being nothing else firm on the calendar for the rest of the summer, except that one thing that I am trying to make happen, it'll be really cool, is that my younger brother has had a baby that I haven't met yet.
Oh.
And they live in Kentucky. And so I am trying to plot and scheme and see if he's in grad school. So I'm like, I wonder if honestly, if I could figure it out, if I could go see him, meet this baby.
Meet this baby around.
I gotta meet this baby before he goes starts his fall semester.
Nice.
That would be probably
Does he
perfect.
Have a break in the summer?
He does, yeah. It's like, I think he's taking a class, but it's like just not the full load or something like that.
That's the nice thing about academia is the summer's kind of wane a little bit.
Yeah, he is working, but it's just a lot easier when it's just the job thing to worry about and not the job in the school. So he does both during the semester. So anyway,
that's fun.
Hopefully that'll work out actually. So scrap what I said about not really wanting to leave. For any other reason, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. But for the sake of meeting my new little niece, it would be very cool. Yeah.
That's Harmony's sister?
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
Once way back in the day, we posted a really cute picture of Harmony on Insta.
That's right. I think we were talking about something, or maybe it was a happy thing for the week.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, that was pre-COVID, probably like early first season of the show.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I, on the other hand.
You've got traps coming up.
I just finished travels and I have travels coming up, mm-hmm. which is, we've had a heck of a recording schedule this summer.
Yeah.
Jam took a trip for a week and then he came back and I immediately left for a week.
Yep.
So it's been quite a bit and then I'm leaving again.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things where it is make it hard. So we have sometimes thought about, should we take a break in the summer? We've never done that. We didn't do this time. If you have thoughts about that, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if you think we should. We do sometimes do smaller episodes or
Yeah.
And I've got a few things up my sleeve for this one to make it a little bit easier to get ahead on the recording.
Right.
But if you don't hear as many Ask a Chemist with questions from our listeners, that's why this summer. It's because you don't have the episodes yet that we're recording about.
Right. We can't answer questions you haven't asked yet.
So my first trip this summer was a week. I was still working remotely, but I was working remotely at the beach in Texas.
Nice.
And it was with my husband's family. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing my shirt from that.
Nice.
We all get matching shirts and then take pictures on the beach.
Nice.
Cute. And then I'm back for just 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And then I will go to BCCE. So if any of our listeners that are chemists, they might know, or if they've heard me talk about it before, that's a chemistry conference that happens every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'll be at that. I'll be presenting and Chemistry for Your Life will have a booth there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a working trip. It's not like a vacay. Really.
Right. But also cool.
But very cool. I really like conferences. They're really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will get back from that. And the day after I leave on a trip.
Oh yeah. I think you told me that before, but I didn't remember it was actually the day after like that.
Yes.
Back to back like that. Wow.
Yes. Like the last day of BCCE is August 1st and I'll be leaving Texas August 1st to go on a big tour of a bunch of different national parks.
Nice.
So because of that, we're trying to get kind of ahead. So we've got maybe less to share week to week about our happy weeks and we will have less bonus episodes with questions from y'all. We'll do some different things.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
That's a little bit of update on our summer.
If you're taking a trip or doing something fun for summer, we'd love to hear about it. Let us know. And
will you be at any national parks while I'm at national parks?
Yep.
Did you just go to a national park and you want to tell me what you liked to see and eat there?
Have you ever been to Indiana or heard of it? Kidding.
Have you heard of it? So let us know.
Also, I didn't say I went for my niece's wedding, which was that was fun. So that was cool.
Oh yeah,
I just kind of said Indiana and made fun of that. It's not really a vacation spot, but it was a good reason to go. So yeah, thumbs up from me.
Well, thanks to our listeners who have asked this question and who are excited and understanding about our crazy schedule for this summer.
Yes, and thanks. Yeah, like Melissa, thanks for your questions. Thank you for your thoughts and ideas. We love hearing those. They turn into great episode ideas. They turn into great additions to or feedbacks to or corrections to episodes or great questions for our Ask a Chemist episode. So please send this to us on our website at chemforyourlife.com. That's chemforyourlife.com to share your thoughts and ideas with us. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the cost of making it and maybe even to get an ad-free version of the show and other perks, you can join our super cool Chem community of patrons on patreon.com/chemforyourlife. Super cool deal. We've got various perks for you just as a way to say thank you for supporting the show and keeping it free for everyone. And in return, we give you some perks and the ad-free version of the show, some cool bonus episodes just for you. And we'd love for you to join that. And we've got, yeah, we love getting to interact with our patrons. It's super fun. But if you're not able to do that, you can still help us by subscribing on our favorite podcast app, rating, writing on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also by subscribing on our YouTube channel, which we've been going up in the subscribers. We're at 1,100 now, which is awesome. So make it 1,101, you know?
And if you get some watch hours for us, mm-hmm. if you put the video on YouTube, that works us towards maybe eventually monetizing that channel.
Yep. And supports the show to keep the show going. And keep it free. So you can do that. Subscribe on our YouTube. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe on Spotify, whatever. And those things help us share chemistry with even more people.
Yeah. This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by me, Melissa Collini, and him, Jam Robinson. Jam Robinson is our producer. And this episode was made possible by our financial supporters on Patreon, like we just chatted about. And we just really thank you so much for everything that y'all do to make chemistry accessible to even more people. And those supporters are Jesse R, Sierra L, John T, Avishai B, Bree M, who sometimes makes illustrations for us. You can see him on YouTube. Brian K. Uh-oh, got a sneeze. That's worse. Okay. Brian K, Carol R, Chris and Claire S, Chelsea B, Derek L, Elizabeth P, Emerson W, Hunter R, Jacob T, Christina G, Katrina H, Latila S, Lynn S, Melissa P, Nicole C, Rachel R, Sarah M, Stephen B, Suzanne P, Timothy P, Venus R, Erica B, Colin R, and Jeanette N. Thank you so much for everything you do to make Chemistry for Your Life happen.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can check the references for this episode in our show notes or in the description of the video on YouTube.
Yay, chemistry.
Yay, chemistry.